Chainsaw. Ein neues Stück Musik von den Losers. Abgespielt vom niegelnagelneuen Album How to Ruin Other People's Futures. Heute erscheint das Ding, heute am 9. September 2016. Bei mir im Studio sind die drei Männer, die die Band ausmachen. DJ Eddie Temple Morris ist bei mir, Tom Bellamy und Paul Mullen. Hello, guys.
Hello. Nice to see you again.
Yeah, same here. How have you been? You're busy, right? I mean, the new album is coming out today, so you must have been...
Just pretty busy. Studio the whole time. We haven't really seen anyone, so it's nice to be out.
Yeah, you know, it's nice to have you back.
Nice, yeah. Thanks.
Nice to see you guys in the sunlight one more time.
Yeah, we're melting today. Jeez.
Yeah, what happened?
Berlin has been raining all summer. We heard. And we just see pictures on Facebook of torrential downpours while it was lovely in everywhere else in Europe, and it's now beautiful.
Yeah. It was the right point in time to come to Berlin once more. I've read about the album. You've financed the album via Pledge Music once again. It was the second time that you asked your fans to finance your record. How did that work out for you? What are the advantages from your point of view for a band that uses Pledge Music or other forms of financing with the fans?
After our second campaign, we just realized it was a really good way of getting direct to our fans. Mm-hmm. We have a really loyal fan base all over the world, and the second one was successful, so we thought, why not do it the first one was successful, so I thought, why not do it a second time? And we completed it, got to our goal, and that just means that we were able to fund the manufacture of our album and keep control of what we're doing. We like to stay independent with what we do, so it's just nice to have that control, you know.
Yeah, it's basically total control over everything when you do it like that, because there's not one guy who says, hey, yeah, but I financed the whole thing. Could we think about the cover one more time? Or
You can't blame it on anyone else. You can only blame it on yourself.
Yeah. It's nice to be able to make the record that we wanted to make. Yeah. And it works with the model that we have, because we have incredible support from BMG in Berlin on the one side. Yeah. But then on the on the record label side, it's us.
Yeah.
And it's Pledge and it's our fans, which is a really nice way of doing it.
Some wise men once said that if you're going to fail with something, it's better to fail with your own stuff than to fail with stuff that's been based on a compromise. You know what I'm saying?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And I think that's the way that you're working.
Yeah, no compromise, exactly.
Yeah, it's not diluted at all. It's not sort of, it's kind of pure losers. That's what we try and get across,
just
that we are
all
pure losers.
All mistakes,
right? I have a suggestion for your next LP, though, as a title. I would name the next Losers LP Losers with Lasers.
Nice. Techno album.
Dance record, yes. Okay, we've got the direction.
isn't it a good idea? Losers with Lasers? I think it's a good idea. What I love about your music is, and your remixes as well, that you do cross genre boundaries all the time. And I have the feeling that being a band with love for different genres is easier nowadays than it has been 20 years ago, because all the kids that are into music nowadays, they had the internet at their hands when they started listening to music, so they didn't have to rely on their older brother's metal collection went to be a metalhead, you know, not accepting any different genre at all. Do you have that same feeling again, that there's acceptance more for a band that crosses
my sister used to be massively into dance music, club music, and I absolutely hated it, and I was a rock kid and she hated my music, and we would never listen to each other's music, and we hated each other. And then suddenly now, if I look on my phone, on my Spotify playlist, I've got all her old club music on my phone, and I listen to it all the time. And it's just, you know, I'm just one example, but I was talking to someone only yesterday about how, you know, really now everyone does, I think, just take a bit of everything and can see the greatness in all genres, not just like what they were told to like or what their friends liked.
Yeah.
You basically formed Losers to bring you and your sister closer together.
Oh, we're so tight.
to join the electro and the rock together.
This is not a bad, it's family therapy.
But it's a very good and it's a very interesting cultural point, which is that rockers used to be, rockers were rockers and ravers were ravers, and never the twain shall meet, as we say.
Yeah.
But thanks to Primal Scream and the Prodigy, you know, they united those two worlds, and the world is a much better place as a result. And, and you know, we do embody that sort of spirit of unity that came in when people started taking ecstasy in nightclubs. You know?
And I think it is another advantage of the, let's call it, downfall of the industry, is that there's not one guy in the record company telling you to record another version of your first hit single once again, because even that doesn't work anymore. And even this guy, even that guy has realized that it doesn't work like that anymore. So it's another, that's another reason, I think, for bands nowadays to broaden their horizons, so to speak. I think because, you know, you can do whatever you want. It works, kind of, or it doesn't work at all. But to repeat the formula of your first single, that doesn't help anymore, I think.
Yeah, we have so much freedom with what we do. We're very lucky that we can pretty much do what we want, and I think that's why we sort of have the success that we do, because we can be honest to ourselves and stand behind it. And, you know, certainly back in the day, and I remember with my old band, Gibbs and Claws, with our last album, you know, we were advised on what our music should sound like. And that was pretty much why that band ended, because we weren't listening to ourselves. We were told that our music wasn't right, you know. Yeah. And that's not how it should be as an artist. No. You know, you should do what you do for yourself.
Yeah, that's another thing that I wanted to ask.
It, it's a bonus, you know.
Yeah. There's no right or wrong in music. There's no right or wrong.
It's only good and bad.
Yeah, well. don't get me started about Muse now.
but then there's another thing that I wanted to ask you guys, how important the experiences are for the losers that you've collected with your old bands, with the Cooper Campbell Claws, with the Automatic, you as a DJ, and as a partner in crime for various projects. And I mean, you've actually experienced the bad business kind of trip
where the imaginary
fat guy just comes into the studio like, I don't hear a single. Can you re-record the whole fucking, you know?
Yeah, there's that part of it. But then we also got the fun times when you get, like, you know, thousands of pounds injected into you so that you can get a taxi to go from London to Berlin if you want.
That's true.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Or have whatever you want from room service. So, you know.
Yeah. And have really nice artwork and enhanced DVDs and a different artwork for every format. It was, I was like, I did love that about the Coopers. They're very generous with their product. they're like Mo Wax Records, you know. Yeah. Different artwork on different formats and stuff like that. Cool. I love that.
But
ups and downs.
Yeah, I think at the end of the day, you want to be a musician that can look into the mirror and look at yourself, you know, and you want to have a good time rather than to be super rich at a certain point and repeat stuff that you hated for 10 years now. Because I still feel that there are bands around who go up on stage and do their job and look at their watches half through the set, they'll be like, oh, fuck, another 30 minutes to play.
Yeah, the money really doesn't matter. And that was brought home to me in the most tragic and vivid way in January, when someone that a really good friend of mine who was a billionaire, son of a billionaire, killed himself, threw himself off the top of a car park. Yeah. You know, the money really doesn't matter. It is exactly all about that. It's about looking yourself in the mirror and going, you know, I've been honest. I'm doing, you know, what I love. Yeah. It's about love.
Let's listen to another song that's been made with love. Hier sind die Losers und ihre schon etwas ältere Nummer Azan. Die Losers nochmal mit Azan. Ein Stück Musik von der letzten Platte aus dem Jahr 2014, das aber verwendet wurde für einen Game of Thrones Trailer. Das ist natürlich crazy. That was a good moment for you guys, right? When that song was picked for a Game of Thrones trailer. Because in my imagination, it must have been like an explosion of new people listening to your music worldwide, wasn't it?
Yeah, definitely.
We did get on Game of Thrones trailer, and as far as I'm aware, we were the only band to do that twice. But it was with Turn Around, which I think you played last time we were here. Azan, that one was on Hercules, and it was on Rain, the Queen Elizabeth one. It was on Black Sails, the Michael Bay series. So that song has been the reason we can afford to buy Christmas presents for our family.
Yeah, and it's a good thing. And another modern kind of thing that's happening is that a band song gets picked for a super popular TV series, and the guy who played for 50 people, to 50 people all the time, all of a sudden, like 2 days later, is asked to open up for the Rolling Stones or whatever. You know what I'm saying? That's a crazy thing that's happening.
Well, we're still waiting for the call from Mick for that one.
Just to turn him down. No, we don't want to. Fuck you, Mick. No, I think that's a really special thing. And I think your music does have a certain cinematic quality to it when one's listening to it. There's films happening in one's head, especially when you've smoked one of those cigarettes. Anyway. but do you sometimes think about incorporating film into your project as well? Because that would be a next step. Or would you want to score a movie for a director?
Yeah. That's always the dream, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, the moment we just write music that we want to listen to and want to produce, we've always said if someone comes along and goes, here, he's in the film, go and do an album, do a soundtrack for it all, that would be just kind of geared towards that. Anyway, we've just been lucky the fact that we just produce our own stuff and these TV shows in LA picks it up. And we're like, oh, brilliant, you know? So
maybe that's the best way, right? Maybe it's even better than to sit down with the director and he's like, you know, then you have that guy.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, I think on a project like that, it would be good because we'd be getting into it. We know what we want for TV and film and stuff. But for now, we just produce what we want to produce, and it just sometimes works.
Yeah. Another thing that I found super interesting about the new record is that you've recorded parts of it in a remote studio in Brandenburg in a forest.
Yeah.
How did that happen? Did you get lost?
Just had one too many whiskeys. Yeah. And then the window was open and we popped in. It was so big we couldn't get out. It took us 18 months to find the front door.
That would be such a good way of answering the question what took so long for the new album. We didn't find the studio door for 18 months.
And got attacked by a boar.
No, but how did that influence the record?
Massively.
Yeah, massively. I mean, we were in a studio in London for a couple of years before that, doing the last record. And it just so happens we keep on changing the location of when we're doing a new record. Mm-hmm. And so being in London and all the distractions that it brings, we're in like a warehouse community, had a really nice studio there, but it was just getting too much. Mm-hmm. Just we weren't producing as much as we'd like to. And this opportunity came along to move into a forest and set up a studio there. And turns out we all went a little bit mad for it. But, sometimes distractions are good.
Yeah.
We were quite isolated, but I mean...
And there were no distractions at all.
Well, there were some ghosts, I think. There was lots of noises that would happen after some of those cigarettes you talked about earlier. it was for the most part, it was just me and Paul and the wild boar. Keep us company. So.
Wow.
I actually drew a wild boar in your guest book last time we were here. I just remembered that.
See?
They've been a massive part of our lives for like 2 years. So.
Yeah.
Oh,
that's something.
We got out.
But it did nearly drive us mad.
So. stuff like that is always going to affect very profoundly. Yeah. I just last week I heard an old an archive interview with David Bowie, and he was talking about how he writes, and he said, I've always written about the same thing. Isolation, loneliness, alienation. Mm. And those are the things that were actually happening more to these guys, because these are the guys that they moved to Berlin while I had to stay in London.
Yeah. It's hard to write a song about isolation in a busy bar, maybe.
Well, exactly. Exactly.
Filled with your friends.
And when you relocate to a new country, different language, different people, and you're physically isolated, it's going to affect things really very profoundly, and it has had an incredibly profound effect on the record.
Cool. I've made the experience as well that when I went to Czech Republic or something, I don't speak Czech at all, not a single word, and it does something to your brain when you sit in a crowded place and you don't understand a word of the stuff that people are talking about. That's nice sometimes, I think.
It is good. I talk to people about that in the UK, about it, like it frees up a certain part of your brain that, like, you concentrate when people are talking and stuff. And I just wonder where that part of the brain goes then. what comes in. You end up switching off from, human communication.
Yeah. You did a remix version of your last album as well. Are you planning to remix those songs too, or do you want to... Do you want to leave those versions alone now?
Of the new album?
Yeah.
I think we've had a few done of the first release, which was This Is a War. We had a guy, a Berlin guy, which was Chi Tan, is that his name?
Chi Tan, techno producer from Berlin. And we've had a few others. What's his name? Oh, Hyper, yeah. Guy, I was thinking his name's Guy, and I keep forgetting his actual name. Yeah, Hyper. And we've got, hello, Guy. And we're getting some other ones, some really interesting ones that are, you know, in production at the moment.
Okay, cool.
From people like Throwing Snow and just people that we, you know, that we really like.
And are you still remixing other artists, or is that something that's...
Not at the moment, just concentrating on, just our own material at the moment. And it's just been a very long time in the studio, so we're just going to take a break and hopefully get this record out on the road and start playing it to people, because it's been a while since we've done that. And
you, Eddie, you have the radio show, you still have one?
Yeah, I've done the same show for the last 15 years.
It's still the same.
I moved stations last year.
That's what I read, yeah.
I was...
You were at XFM?
I was at XFM, and then they changed format and became male-focused.
No,
and I, yeah, exactly. I was the only one with the balls to walk away.
And now, which station is on now?
I'm on Soho Radio.
Okay, cool.
Along with Norman Jay and Gary Crowley and Rob the Bank and some people that I really like.
Rob the Bank, yeah, we love
Simone
him too.
From Primal Scream is on that.
Wow,
is on that station as well.
And the show is still about different genres finding their way into each other and remixed music and dance and rock music.
Yeah, it's the same show. It's the remix because. Cool. I was the luckily I was the only presenter on XFM that could walk with the show.
Okay,
all the others have their show owned by the station, but because I brought the show, I brought the idea and the name.
Yeah,
they tried to copyright it and they couldn't do it.
Cool. Congratulations on that.
Yeah. So I'm now at Soho Radio in the same slot, Friday night, 10 till midnight.
Cool. On Soho Radio.
Soho Radio.
Alles klar. Kann man ja mal auschecken. Auch hier aus Germany wird man da einen Stream finden bei Soho Radio. Mit DJ Eddie Temple-Morris am Mikrofon. Er wird seine Expertise über Musik eben dort teilen. Now, you guys actually wanted to play tonight at this little festival called DNA Berlin, but you had a little accident, so it's going to be Eddie DJing.
Yeah, we were all pumped up, ready to play tonight, and unfortunately there was an unfortunate accident in the camp, and we're not going to be able to play, so we're absolutely gutted.
Yeah.
But Eddie is going to take over on the decks and we'll be playing a techno set, I believe.
Yes. I'm going to do a special kind of Berlin set tonight.
Wow.
I'm going to do a much more stripped down, much more techno, because I go right across the BPM range from 90 to 178. You know?
Lovely.
And everything in between. But tonight I'm going to go balls to the wall.
From 122 to 124.
I might pitch it up a little bit, you know. But the thing is, I've always pushed it with everything that I've always done.
Yeah.
I've always, if I'm DJing in a rock club, I'll push them towards dance. If I'm DJing in a dance club, I'll push them towards rock. For me, it's important for a DJ to ask questions of an audience.
Yeah.
Give them what they want, but challenge them a little bit. Ask them some questions. So I'll be asking a few questions tonight.
That always, sounds good to me. Die Losers heute Abend, also als Band, leider nicht live auf der Bühne zu erleben im Rahmen des DNA Berlin Festivals, das übrigens stattfindet im Musik und Frieden mit Bands wie Sway Clark, Dope, Black Gang, Tommy Cash, Fifi Wrong, Ramajang, Romand, es gibt DJs wie zum Beispiel eben auch Eddie Temple Morris, der dann noch auflegen wird von den Losers, damit die Band nicht ganz umsonst hergefahren ist. Und ansonsten müssen wir uns dann halt auf einen weiteren Termin freuen. I think there's going to be another date where you're gonna present the new album soon,
really hope
right?
so, yeah. We cool. were deep into rehearsals and all ready to go. So there's a live show waiting in the wings. So it would be a massive shame not to get it out to the people. So
Hopefully DNA in November.
Yeah, okay.
Is what they're talking about.
Yeah, that sounds good to me. So I want to wish you the best of luck for DJing tonight. Best of luck for your health as well.
Thank you.
Get better, and then we'll meet again in a month or so when you're going to play
Fantastic.
Your show. Und fürs DNA Berlin habe ich trotzdem Tickets, die ich verlosen darf unter der 030-2000-9000. Berlin 2000-9000 ist die Nummer zum Glück. Wir haben Tickets fürs DNA Berlin. Eddie, Paul und Tom, thanks again for visiting. See you soon. Oh, you've brought CDs as well.
Yeah, CDs to give away.
Wow,
today.
Heute rausgekommen, meine Damen und Herren. Heute erschienen die Platte How to Ruin Other People's Futures.
Nice one, well done.
Und wer die haben möchte, der schreibt jetzt eine Mail an win@fluxfm.de mit dem Betreff Losers und der Adresse in der Mail drin, dann schicken wir euch den Tonträger zu. Eine Mail an win@fluxfm.de mit dem Betreff Losers und wir schicken euch die CD. Und für Karten fürs DNA-Festival einfach anrufen 030 2000 9000. Und hier, this is a war nochmal von der neuen Platte von den Losers. Thank you guys, bye bye.
Thank you.